Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The text this morning is from the first epistle of John, the third chapter. You may be seated. My dear friends in Christ, there is a wonderful and beautiful thing that has happened to countless numbers of people in this church, something which has never been seen with the naked eye. When I was younger, and I think I've told you this before, I would watch and I would watch and I would watch as my pastor would speak the words of institution up at the altar during communion. I would just wait for a glimpse of seeing the divine, of how Jesus would come and hold the bread before us and it would be his body. But I never saw that. And the same lack of sight that's there is the same lack of sight we have when it comes to the saints that we have become in this place. Countless numbers. And really, I do say countless because our records are kind of everywhere and I can't find them all. But that's okay. They're hard to get a hold of. Countless numbers have been baptized in this font. They've been granted the gift of faith. And right in our presence, hidden from our eyes, that gift has transformed them into saints, into holy ones. And this is happening not just at our font, but all over the world, and has been happening for 2,000 years and will be happening until Jesus comes back. Saints are being made each and every day. And yet not one person has seen it. You see, we lack the ability to see what's holy. It's not because God is mean and vindictive and he's holding the best back for himself, but it's because our eyes are scaled over with sin, right? We can't see that which is hidden unless God would specifically rip the scales off our eyes. It hasn't been given to mankind to see that which is going on around us in the supernatural except by his permission. I mean, have you thought about this? The scriptures make it clear that the angels are fighting all around us all the time, waging war against the demons of the devil. This is something we believe and we know to be true, and yet how many of us have seen this? In fact, how many saints of the scriptures have ever seen an angel? Have you thought about that before? We got Adam, Eve, Jacob, Moses, Elijah, Ezekiel, Mary, Joseph, Paul, John, a few more probably to be sure. But the reality is, even of all the saints of the Old Testament, the number who have been able to perceive the holy is low. We just can't see that which is holy on our own. And thus it is that many have missed the amazing miracle that happens in the water with the word. Sinners. Ugly, dirty, nasty, rotten sinners are transformed into the most beautiful creatures. Sinners redeemed by grace. They're made saints. Now, the word saint is really just a word that means consecrated or to be a holy one, right? Santa Claus, right, is a saint. He's a man who actually really lived in the 4th century. And despite what we think about him today, he's actually most famous for punching out a heretic at the Council of Nicaea. St. Patrick was a real man who lived in the 5th century. He was born in Britain, sold into slavery to Ireland, returned home, and then went back to Ireland. Now, legends grew up around these men, most of which is untrue, though there's probably a little truth sprinkled in there. But the legends endure today. When we say saint, we're not talking the legend, we're talking what God has done. By calling these men and others saints, we are calling, what we're saying is that they are holy ones, holy to God. And we remember them in the wonderful ways that they demonstrated the life of Christ in this life. To call them a saint has nothing to do with the amount of perfection each one had, which is to say, none, because all mankind is born in sin and commits sin, thereby erasing the possibility of perfection even before birth. Rather, to call someone a saint is to recognize what our Lord has done in them, namely that he has set them apart from the world by giving them the gift of faith. God makes one holy. And to be holy does not mean to be perfect. Because again, then no person taken to heaven would have the ability to be holy. Because they each leave a life of sin in their past. You can't be holy with sin in this sense, right? You can't be perfect in this sense. Rather, it's better to think of this. Holy is to be set apart. Thanksgiving's coming up. I know that's weird to think about. We're already in November, and Christmas decorations are already up in the stores. It's like they skip Thanksgiving completely, but that's okay. Many of us are going to go out. We're going to buy our turkeys early because we can get better deals on them, and we're going to freeze them, right? We set the turkey apart from other food so that it's not eaten too early. We set it aside for a purpose, that it can be eaten, used at the right time. Now, I wouldn't say that the turkey is holy like we are holy, but the idea of, you know, setting it aside, setting it apart for a specific purpose, that's what I want you to grasp onto. Because the gift of faith sets us apart as children of God. God has set his children apart from the world for his specific purposes. Now, that might be to preach the gospel as a pastor. It might be to change a diaper as a mother. It might be to set a broken leg as a doctor. It might be to unclog a toilet as a janitor. It might be to build boxes as a box builder. Whatever it is, it's done to the glory of God because you are a child of God. The world doesn't see this. The world doesn't want to see it. They want to see that they're the same as you. That what they're doing is the same as you because it merits either all of everything for them or absolutely nothing. And they want us to all be in the same boat. A parable. Two workers do the same work for their master. Will they be praised or will they be written up? Well, the job is to account for a cash register all day. Now, the two employees had to make sure that all of the money was there. All the money that had been come in was there at the end of the day. And both workers at the audit at the end of the day were discovered to have come up $200 short. One worker is fired immediately for his crime. The other worker comes to work the next day and gets a promotion. What's the difference? The second worker is the son of the boss. See, the reality is that in all our works, they're all tinged with sin. Nothing we do is ever going to be perfect. We need to know that. Whether the intention behind it is lacking or whether it's the results that we don't even see because we struggle with our sinful flesh in this life, we by our own power can work nothing good. We are all that worker having to account for the money in the till. And we'll always come up short. When we give an account at the end, would you like to be like the first man who is fired or the second who is the child of the boss? The second, of course, right? And this is what God has made you through faith. so that your works aren't just overlooked, but they're counted as good because you do it in His name for His sake. I know it's weird to think about this, to think about how God looks at your sinful acts and counts them as good, but He does because you've been set apart for good works in Christ Jesus. And now, as a Christian, that's all you can do. He lived, He died, and He rose for you that you might be forgiven of all of your sin and welcomed into the family of God. By His shed blood, you have been adopted as a child of God. The world thinks you look just the same. But we all know better, don't we? Jesus bled and died for you, and you have been made His. You have a place to belong in this world, and it is safely and firmly and securely in Christ Jesus. But the world doesn't see it. They think that you're just one of them. You're going along, you're doing the same things, but every time a child of the world changes a diaper, it serves to damn them. And every time a child of God changes a diaper, it serves to glorify God. Just as we cannot see it with our eyes, neither can they see your status before God, because they lack faith. By faith, we can see the children of God around us. We are surrounded, even now, by such a great cloud of witnesses. We may not have seen the transformation with our eyes, but we can see it by faith. We can see our mothers and our fathers in the faith, our sisters and our brothers in the faith. They're the ones who climbed these steps to this altar, who brought their babies to be baptized, who suffered through hardships and pains, who've prayed for us, who've prayed with us, who've taught us to read the Word, who've pointed us to Jesus. They've been our favorite people. They've been people we'd rather not see again. They've been leaders, they've been followers, they've been failures, they've been teachers, they've been students, they've been staff, they've been here, they've been at home, they've been around the world, they're the saints of Christ, and so are you. You too are a saint. You don't have to wait until you're dead. Thank God. You're a saint today because our Lord has made you one through the gift of faith. And you may not see it now. You may be struggling with your sins, whether it's your secret sins or the ones that everybody knows. But you're a saint. And the day is coming when you will be fully transformed. You are God's holy ones. One of His set apart people to do His work. And yet the day is coming when you will be transformed into the very spitting image of Christ. Not in His ruddy good looks, but in His hands and in His feet, in His works. You will be made even more holy than you are now. Set apart from the world completely that we are currently living in. That you may never have to deal with sin again, leaving it behind to live in His grace and His bliss forever. That's our hope, my friends. That as saints of Christ, children of God, He will come back with all the saints and with us and make us like Him forever. It's not just a hope that I hope that might come true. It is the only true thing in the world that we might grasp onto it and make it our entire life's focus. Because for saints in Christ, there is nothing better than to receive that promise and then to share that with others, that they may be washed in that font, that they may walk these steps, that they might drink from that cup, that they might hear this word. That they might be counted as children of God with us and for all eternity. That they might see God. And you will. You will see God. And you'll no longer wonder at your sainthood, but place your hope in Christ forever and ever, perfected, purified by his grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.